Welcome to a special presentation of Everything Home, the transformational show where we talk about life, stuff, and balance and promote good people doing good business and good things. This is our Friday signature segment, Nin's Navigation, with our expert contributor, Nin Rafat. Our topic for January, fundamentals of leadership. Tune in every Friday and let Nin help you take your business and yourself to the next level. Nin's Navigation is a soulful compass that will empower you to attract an abundance of wealth, love, wisdom, success, and contentment in your life. We look forward to you joining us on this journey. Enjoy the show. Welcome to a special presentation of Everything Home, the transformational show where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. We're a resource, platform, and community that shares stories, lets passions be heard, and showcases good people doing good business and good things. All of our guests and expert informations and their shows are listed on our website, everythinghometalkshow.com. I've made it very user-friendly. On your phone, put your finger over the displays, anywhere on the panels where you get the information about the shows, or just use the mouse, click, and you get right into the shows. So I encourage you to check it out and start to begin to use it as a resource. You can meet, hire, and learn from some really good people doing good business and good things. And you can also listen and subscribe to Everything Home on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and Player FM. I wanted to let everyone know that I am getting your emails and I'm getting your messages and posts, and I appreciate the feedback, the suggestions for the shows, and I love the fact that everyone's starting to interact. So that is what's making this a community. So thank you so much for doing that. And I encourage everyone to go to follow us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and blah and all that kind of fun stuff and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So however you feel you need to connect, please do, and be as interactive as you want, because we actually pay attention and we're starting to implement those things into the show. This is Nin's Navigation with our expert contributor, Nin Rafat, and this is part of our January series, which is the Fundamentals of Leadership. Today's show is the other side of the table. Most leaders don't want to say it, and most people don't want to hear it. So it's going to be interesting. We're going to talk a little bit about feedback. But before we get into the serious stuff and how we're going to improve ourselves, I'm going to give you two little jokes today. They're really short ones. Why do hamburgers go to the gym? To get better buns. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, second one. And I'll tell you why that I use this joke once I finish the second one. How much room is needed for fungi to grow? As much room as possible. Ah! Mushroom, get it? Mushroom, fungi, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So my companion and my loyal listener, my encourager, laughter in the background, supporter I appreciate always, is Nin Rafat, our business and leadership consultant, guide, and speaker, the owner of Nin's Dreams, from startup to scale up, your one-stop shop for business solutions. Thank you again for always laughing at my jokes, Nin. I appreciate that. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little discombobulated, but I am back on track now. So I feel good. And I do need to make a confession to everyone. And the reason why I said that joke is we talked last week about it being National's Quitter Day. And I said, I'm coming out strong. And even though it's National Quitters Day, I'm going to go ahead and commit to actually starting something, which was supposed to be exercise, thus the joke. And I have failed miserably. I have done nothing. I have not walked. I have not even stretched. I've done absolutely nothing. I have failed, and I get an F for restarting I didn't restart the resolution, so I never made the resolution. So my whole bad, just bad, bad, bad. So I'm going to try it again starting tomorrow, Saturday. I'm going to make it happen because I need to, because I put a pair of pants on and they didn't fit. So if that's the only motivation that it would take me, then we have just had a liftoff, Houston. We've got a problem. We've got a problem. Pants are not fitting, and they did in November. So now we need to make some changes. So did you do anything to exercise that 15 minutes that we told everyone we were going to do, or just did I just become a big loser on the planet?
No, I actually did it because I was so every time I thought, I mean, I was, whenever I would take Oscar for the walk, I made sure he gets extra 15 minutes, and I do that extra 15 minutes. He loved it. So now I know why he was barking. He was actually trying to give you his gratitude, express his gratitude that, you know, because of you, Michelle, Mom is walking me 15 minutes extra.
Oh, and for that, you know, you get a round of applause. So that is from Oscar to me to Oscar for me not making everyone else do the exercise except for myself. So, yes. Well, I'm glad you actually did it. I'm glad that you and Oscar enjoyed yourselves, and you probably lost at least a pound or two by doing an extra 15 minutes on the scale. So good job. Yeah.
I can't say about the weight thing, because after the walk, when I come, then I do whatever I have to do.
But that's okay. And like I said, at least it doesn't matter. This is not a hardcore, we're gonna get in shape, da da da. This was actually a movement I was starting that was supposed to be just low key, 15 minutes to whatever. I hope that some people actually did it. I'm proud of you for doing it. And I promise that tomorrow I'm going to actually do the 15 minutes because I need to. So I'm back on track tomorrow, and I encourage everyone else to jump on the train. And let's try to do it one more time. So with that being said, 15 minutes, we're doing the transition. Tomorrow's a whole new day, January 19th, woohoo. And let's get on with the show. So today, as part of our January series, which is the fundamentals of leadership, today's show, the other side of the table, most leaders don't want to say it, and most people don't want to hear it. It's going to be about feedback and some other interesting things that I don't want to get yelled at. I don't like getting yelled at either, so go ahead, Nan. Let's try to make it so it doesn't hurt, all right?
Okay. So, friends, audience, my listeners, I love you all, and thank you for joining us again today. As you all know, we have our leadership series, and I just love it. That's one of my favorite topics, and it's about feedback, which is so important part of leadership. The whole show today will be around two basic points. One is to bring out the best in people, and the other is be receptive to feedback. So we are doing two major things today, trying to get hold of the leader within you that knows the importance of bringing out the best in people. And then at the same time, trying to get hold of the leader within you who believes that matters and who actually responds to feedback and is open to feedback and is ready to change for good and for better, not only for himself or herself, but also for the team, also for the people around, and, you know, overall, it's a win-win situation if you are open to feedback, receptive to feedback. So, and I'll give you, as we go through the process, as we go through the discussion, I'll give you two tips about effective feedback, which you can use in any situation, whether you are running an organization, whether it's between your friends and family, or something between you and yourself. And like Michelle can use it to look back and see, you know, why she didn't do the 15 minutes and everybody else did, because she said that her words were so powerful. She was so convincing. She not only made humans, but even animals do that, those extra 15 minutes. She did not do it herself.
Let me pause you for 1 second. The reason why Michelle didn't do it is because she's lazy and she would rather sit at her desk and work than actually exercise and try to be healthy and skinny. So with that being said, I'll let you keep going. But yes, she's lazy and she's turning into a fat, lazy person. So there you go. That's the problem. Yeah.
Okay. So that was a very, you know, a feedback with full of clarity, right? Okay, so we were discussing about, I'll just take a few seconds actually to give you all a snapshot of what we discussed in previous episodes. And the the whole gist of whatever we have been discussing throughout is that leadership does not need a title, but there are certain imperatives that every leader should have. The leadership imperatives revolve around your desire, your urge to coach and develop people for results. And results and can be the numbers that you want, the goals that you want to achieve, the vision that you want to achieve for your organization, but at the same time, guide people to achieve their dreams in their lives. And then it's drive performance, as I said earlier. It's about creating that passion, creating your becoming yourself as the role model to drive performance, to get the results. Inspire loyalty and trust. It's about how you interact with people, the fairness that you show, and the openness that you share between yourself and your people, your friends, your family, or your crew, your staff is so important, because then it inspires people to be loyal, to be committed, and it builds the trust both ways. Manage work. That's also imperative of leadership. You should know how to manage work and what the set priorities and work through them. Understand the challenges and don't come up with something that is not possible just because you want it. I mean, if there is a challenge, there is a challenge. And I'll give you an example from my life, which is like going through for last few days. Michelle has been part of so many discussions around that, and she'll be surprised that I'll be sharing this as an example, but it's a perfect example for manage about you know, setting realistic targets and understanding the challenges. Partner within and across teams. It is so important for leaders to become partners. Leaders are people who knows that they have to partner with their teams and across teams also to make sure that whatever they want, they can get that. Whether it's a formal team or an informal group that needs close teamwork in order to be effective, creating and maintaining a high-performing team and cross-boundary partnerships is a key leadership role. So you have to make sure that if you're creating a high-performing team, your team should be able to reach out to other teams as well. For example, if you are leading finance or you are leading customer services or you're leading marketing or operations, or you own the entire organization, you are the CEO where every function comes under your wings. So it is very important for you to make sure that, you know, you work, you create that environment, you create that culture within your own team that they know the importance and significance of partnering with others to get the best results. Because if operations doesn't deliver, marketing goals will not be achieved. Our sales goals could not be achieved, because if operations is not producing what they want to sell, the results will not actually be what the CEO wants. So it has to be an interactive and connecting bond or culture between the teams. And a leader, it is very important for a leader to understand the importance and significance of partnering within and across the teams. Influence through personal power, that's so, so important. Leaders need to get things done without using position power, either because it's inappropriate or they are leading people who are peers or who are not direct reports. So what happens is that you should have, as we discussed in personal branding, that you have to have your personal brand, which is so influential, which is so impactful, that people would partner with you and do things that you want them to do. Whether either it's like a one-man show in a small business, a mid-sized business, or corporate, or a family, it doesn't matter at all, or your relationship with your partner. Your personal brand, the way you interact the way you understand things, the way you are trying to communicate or help people achieve their dreams and then make it clear what you want from them or what you want from your own life. So the whole thing that you create, that the whole persona that you create should be so influential, should be so impactful that it should give you results. It would generate income for you. And when I say income, it's like I say, energy has multiple components to it. So income has also multiple components to it. It's just not the revenue. It's about income in terms of the love and respect that you're getting, the power that you have, the influence that you're creating, the impact that you're creating. That all becomes like an income. So, and the next thing is that how do you select talent? And so that it is very important for leaders to understand, to identify, to evaluate, and select the right talent for the right job. And it is also very important in our relationships because, you know, when someone is born, so they have a few things, a few relationships, few talents that come to them as a gift. And those talents are your parents, your siblings. You just can't do about it, your family, right? Your blood. You just can't do about it. That's the talent that you have. And then as you grow up, you start connecting with people in at work, in school, in college, at university, wherever it is, you start connecting with people. And there's a whole pool of talent that you create, you grow around yourself. There's a whole group of talent. What happens is now you go to your mom, and I'm giving you this example because it's just copy-paste the same thing that the example that I'm giving you for about personal relationships. Just copy-paste it in any organization because I always say that your life is the organization that you lead. So if you copy-paste that in a corporate environment, in a mid-sized business, wherever you do, it works the same. So coming back to the example that your mom is a talent and use that talent when you are down, when you are in pain, when you are suffering, when you want something more emotional, more, you go to her, to your mom, and to seek advice if you're emotionally down, or you know you need support, you need to eat something, you're craving for something, and or you're not feeling well. So that's the talent that you exactly know that she's the person, she's the expert in it, and you go to her. Then you have a talent that is your dad. Usually people go to their fathers. That talent, the fatherhood, is you when you're looking for something more courageous, strength, you need advice in career, you can go to your mom. Please don't take me wrong. It's not like I'm a single mom, so I wear both the hats. So I have nothing against the role of a mother or the role of a father, but I'm just doing the general painting the general picture here. So for fatherhood, it's more like, you know, you go to that talent to get some money and or to get some career advice, more harder, more tougher decisions that you want to take. That's where you go to your father. You go for sports advice, what you take, or what if you are taking a sport, then how to handle that and all that stuff. So it's more like that. You go to your siblings. That's a talent also that is available to you naturally. The pool of talent around you, not the talent within you. So you have your siblings. Now, what does that talent do? You go to them, you share stuff. If you are in trouble, you go to them for good and for bad, both. And among the siblings, then some respond to you the way you want or the way that satisfies you, and some don't do that. And you then cling, you decide that, okay, to my brother, I have to go when, you know, things are really bad. But to my sister, I can go and talk my nonsense too. And so both talents is available to you. And then you have your uncles and aunts and grandparents. And you, so this is how you, you know, like put pieces, all the talents around you. And then you have your friends. So that's the talent. You need some extra money. You are under a crisis, a financial crisis, or something going bad at job, or you need a second opinion. You think your parents are too old for that, or your siblings won't understand. So your friends are there. You share your love stories. You share your breakups. You cry. You laugh. You make memories. So that's your friends. So you have, and then you have your partner, your soulmate, wife, husband, whatever. You have one person, one talent in that, and that's the talent that you are connected. You put little of everything in that talent. That's kind of a CEO work for you. So that's how it works. So exactly, you know, if you bring that model back in a corporate environment or in your own organization, you do the same thing. You select the talent. You have like 8 people working for you, and among those 8, you know, this person is good to do my finances, this person is good to do my marketing, this is my go-to person if anything happens, you know, he or she may be leading customer services or maybe a finance officer in your organization, but that's a person that you can bank on, you can lean on to get advices. So as a leader, you have to identify, evaluate, and select the talent that you have and put them in the right boxes to deliver the results that you want. And then because they are in the boxes, they are at the point where that's their expertise. So that's their passion. If you are putting them there by identifying what is their strength, you are helping them to grow, and then you're helping yourself to get to the goals where you want in your life, the goals that you want in your life. So as a leader, if we have to number the leadership imperative, so it's number 1 is coach and develop for results, 2 is drive performance, 3 is inspire loyalty and trust, 4 is manage your work, 5 is partner within and across teams, influence through personal power, and the last but not the least is select talent. So this is a whole, I mean, a nutshell about leadership. Now, the most important part is that feedback. Now, feedback is so important, whether you are giving it or you are receiving it. The key principles that you have to remember, whether you are giving a feedback or you are taking a feedback, is maintain or enhance self-esteem. Listen and respond with empathy. Ask for help and encourage involvement. Share thoughts, feelings, and rationale without removing responsibility. So these are the key principles for giving and getting feedback. When I say maintain or enhance self-esteem, so to do that, to maintain self-esteem, make sure that you focus on facts, respect and support others, clarify motives. To enhance self-esteem, you should acknowledge good thinking and ideas, recognize accomplishments, express and show confidence, be specific and sincere. So what happens is that when you are giving somebody feedback and you keep this key principle of maintaining and enhancing self-esteem, what happens is that you are creating the right environment, the right, you're creating the right connection with the person you are talking to. What happens is that when I say that you have, for maintaining self-esteem, you have to focus on facts and clarify motives, is because if you're giving feedback to someone about something, you should focus on the fact that why you are giving that feedback. what your intention or your motive is, that why this feedback is needed before anybody jumps to conclusion. And you should keep the respect factor as the key, because if you are showing if you are being disrespectful to someone to whom you're giving feedback, that's not good. That's not at all acceptable. And when you start the conversation, giving the facts, clarifying your motive, keeping the respect element alive, at the same time, you can enhance it throughout your conversation. You can enhance it by recognizing accomplishments and express your confidence in that person that they can do it because they achieved this, 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 and they can do it, but they are not doing it. Whatever they're doing right now is wrong or incorrect or not sufficient enough, and they need to go from here, from A point to B point. So this is how the whole thing gets, the whole connection is from one point to another. That's how you lead it. And when you have shared your facts, clarified your motives, and in that conversation you have also highlighted, enhanced the other person's self-esteem by recognizing their accomplishments, giving them the confidence that you know that they can do it because they have done A, B, C in the past. And, you know, this conversation, this feedback will help them to get to the results that you are looking for. And so once you have done your part, then be patient. Listen, that's important. You have to, you know, shut all the noises within you and listen with empathy to what the other person has to say. You don't have to take anything personal. And as a leader, you have to respond to both facts and the feelings. Now, I'll give you an example. Recently, my son wasn't well. Nothing serious. I mean, as a kid, he was just having fever and throwing up, all that. So I was going through that phase, and my boss, we were having discussions and about some important project, and I was running behind on a deadline. So he knew that I'm like, I have the mom responsibility that is taking over my corporate responsibility. And obviously the mom responsibility is really, really important. So what he did is, like, you know, when I told him that, you know, I was in the hospital for the whole evening and I wasn't able to finish the project, the sheet that he wanted for the project. So I need like a few minutes or a few, you know, like not a few minutes, actually, I need a little time to finish that slide. He heard me with empathy. He was like, oh, how is he doing? Is he well? Do you need more time? Are you sure you can do it? Deep inside, he wanted me to do it. You know, it was like, do it, man. We need it. But the way he handled the situation was, yes, you are late. And I understand. And you can do it because you're the only one who have done it in the past. And you're good at maintaining the deadline. So do it. So that's what empathy is. And so he didn't tell me, oh, your son is not well. Okay, take a week off and, you know, just forget about the presentation. No, it wasn't that. He heard me with empathy that made me feel, and see, I'm talking to you, I'm referring it as an example, that I felt so good that, you know, my boss is understanding. He took me seriously, and the pain that I had, he understood. But at the same time, there are things that have to be done. There are things that I'm paid for to do. So that has to be done. And so because of that empathy, with that empathetic tone, he conveyed me the message that this is needed and you have to do it. And then ask for help and encourage and involvement is the third principle that I shared with you all. It's like when you're giving feedback to some person about the things that they have done or they are not doing it well and you need improvement, you try to encourage yourself to offer help. It's like, okay, so you are not able to deliver the results, although you have been in the past. So is there anything that I can do? Do you think that you need more help in getting this done? Or is it okay, or you need more time? So, you know, you start giving, encouraging involvement, your involvement in that, in the whole process, to make people do what you want. And this is not in only an office relationship or it's not between colleagues. Leader, as we keep telling, leader is a person in so many roles. So it is like you are helping, even if you are struggling with something with your partner, with your soulmate or with your brother or sister. What you do is that you're giving them the feedback that this is what it is, something that's not working, it needs to work, what to do. And then because we know you can do it, you're not doing it. And then just don't shunt that person away. You offer that to get it done. Let's do it as a team. Do you think I can be of any support? Do you think I can be of any help? Because that gives so much of confidence to other person, not only to admit that they have fallen short at any point, them the power to rise up and try one more time. And that's a big thing. And remember, as a leader, provide support without removing responsibility. Help others think and do. Be realistic about what you can do and keep your commitments. Resist the temptation to take over. Keep responsibility where it belongs. This is so important. I just love this. Whenever I say this, I just love it. Resist the temptation to take over. Keep responsibility where it belongs. It's so, so important. If you want your partner to take care of, let's say, meals, you know, evening meals, you are busy and you want your partner to take care of the meals in the evening. So when I said that, you know, like offer your help is not that because you have work, you want help from your partner to do the meals for you in the evening because you have some work and you need that help. You need that support from him or her. But, you know, and he or she tried, but it's not happening. One day it's happening, the other day it's not. And you are ending up in, you know, arguments and friction among your relationship. In your relationship. So what's the point? And then when you sit together for a feedback, for a discussion around that, how to get it done, because that's important. For a week, you have, you know, strong commitments with your work and you need somebody to help you with the meals in the evening. It's not happening and you have no other choice. And the person also wants to do it. It's just that something has happened. So while you are, you know, when I said that offer your help, it doesn't mean that you say, okay, I'll cut the vegetables for you or I'll do the dishes, but can you do the meals for me? That's not a help because you are, again, putting yourself at a point where you're adding more to your plate because you have to work. You can't do that. And that's where you need somebody else to do it for you. And so resist the temptation to take over, you know, like because it's not just cooking that you want him or her to do. You want her to do the whole part, the meals part, serving and, you know, doing the dishes and cooking and everything involved around the meal. That's what you want. Otherwise, cooking itself is just 15 minutes. So resist the temptation to take over. I'm repeating it again and again. I love this so much. It works in every area of life. Keep responsibility where it belongs because now you have given both of you have agreed that responsibility of doing the meals for that 1 week is with your partner. So keep it where it belongs. But you can tell them that, okay, if it is hard for you because you're coming up to work, if it is hard for you, maybe you can make one or two dishes and then we can use it, we can microwave it, or you want to, you know, to order the meals, I have some coupons that we can work together. That's the kind of like support you are trying to help that person achieve the goal that you want, because you don't want to order them because you don't have time. So this is an example, an everyday example that I gave you. If you put it in an environment where it's about work, it's about team members, it's about people doing work for you, you are the CEO and people are doing work for you, it's equally important. I mean, you can call your finance director and he's not doing something, you cannot just say, and you know he's wrong, and you know you can even do it. But then if you start doing the finance part as well, what is he going to do? Just to help him, you say, okay, forget it. You can't do it, I'll do it. You already have so many things on your plate, and you will do that worksheet as well. You are going to do that P&L as well. How can you do that? So the whole interaction process, the feedback process, keep in mind it revolves around the basic principles of maintaining and enhancing the self-esteem, listen and respond with empathy, ask for help and encourage involvement, provide support without removing responsibility. That's how the whole interaction process between two people, you and the team, you and the crew, you and the staff, you and your partner, you and your mom, dad, brother, sister, whatever, it works everywhere. Now, for effective feedback, I'll give you two simple models. One for the positive feedback, where you're telling somebody that they're doing exceptionally good or well, or they're right at the target. That feedback can be done, and I call it, it's not me, it's a DDI, which is Development Dimensions International. They have come up with this, and it's very famous in corporate and in any organization in human resource, and that's how the leadership gurus, they use it. It's called the STAR. The positive feedback, it's called the STAR, S-T-A-R. So S-T is from the STAR. The S-T is situation or task. A is action, and R is result. So if you're giving positive feedback to someone, you are telling them ST, like the STAR, you're taking the STAR approach, which is ST is situation or task, that this was the situation or this was the task that I gave you. Action, these were the actions that you took, result, and you delivered, and I'm so happy about it. And we won this new contract, or we were able to do it the way we wanted, like your partner did the meals for 1 week for you. So that's the STAR feedback, positive feedback. So the model for positive feedback is called STAR, S-T-A-R. S-T is situation or task, A is the action, R is the result. So that's how you give a positive feedback. So the other person knows that what are you talking about, what are you praising for, and when you repeat the action, that give the other person that insight that, oh yes, I did this. At times you do things and you don't even know that they are so good that you did. And somebody else senior to you or your peer or your partner helping you to see things, the good things that you do, that makes you feel good and accomplished. And then they share the results with you, and this is what we achieved together, or you won the contract, or you did so well. So that's a whole, that's a STAR model. Then the other type of feedback is the developmental feedback, which is aimed to give, to improve some situation. And that's where people struggle. That's where, you know, people start the conversation with negativity, and the other person becomes defensive. So that's the hardest part. And to overcome that hard part, I shared the key principles with you a little while ago. So if you keep that those key principles in mind and then follow this model of developmental feedback, you will definitely do well. So the developmental feedback has star AR. Star remains the same, which is situation or task, action and result, but there is an added AR to it, which is A is an alternative action and R is the result that the alternative action might produce. So here's the thing for you to understand, that you gave somebody something to do and they failed to do it, and because of that there was a loss, or you did not get the contract, or the marketing campaign that happened, it just went wrong. It didn't get you the results that you wanted. And you want to have that discussion with your team member. It can be a person who is lower in designation with you in title, or maybe your peer or your partner, your business partner, anybody. And you want to give that feedback. How would you do that? That's called a developmental feedback. So how do you do that? Keeping the same key principles that I shared a little while ago in mind, you do it this way. You tell the situation that we were to launch a new product. We did this marketing campaign. So you're defining the situation and task. And the action was that you came up with the social media calendar, you came up with a better logo or a better slogan and colors, whatever it is. You list the actions that that person or that person's team has done towards that situation. And then the result. And the result is that, okay, we wanted to launch a new product with a new marketing campaign. That's the situation. The actions were that you and your team did an entire new logo around it, new all the words and writings and fonts and everything. You did all that. But the result is that the product is not getting the attention it should. There are no sales. The salespeople are complaining. It's not convincing enough. That's the result that you're trying to tell them. Once you're there, then you use the next A, which is an alternative action, which again relates back to the key principle that provides support without removing responsibility. So what you do, you tell them that the alternative to this is that maybe you can go back to the operations and ask them what is the important thing or the uniqueness of this product that we can highlight, which the competition is not doing. And if you bring that to your marketing material, or maybe you can tell them you can go to finance and see if there is something that can be done in the cost model, in the costing and pricing model. Maybe that you can play up for the first 100 customers or for 15 customers, you can create that hype. So that's an alternative action that you are advising them. And you're telling them the result, that because of this alternative action, that if you do this or you do that, I think that we will be able to get more exposure for our new product. The campaign would do better. We will have more clients. We will have more sales. So this is the developmental feedback. So in the whole situation that I explained to you, not at any single point you were negative. Not at any single point you were questioning their credibility. Not at any single point you made them feel not good enough, not enough. Not at any single point you were imposing things on them. Not at any single point you took the responsibility from them that because you did not deliver, you cannot improve, you cannot do it better. So when you are discussing it in such a creative, in such a positive manner, you have your key principles of feedback with you, you will definitely win and create better results. And in the end, I would like you to think over that, what legacy are you building as a leader? What trying to let the world remember you for? And when you have this in mind, what legacy you are building, it's like, remember, we all have one or two teachers from our high school or from our college that we always remember because they have created a legacy of themselves because of something uniquely and nicely that they do, the impact or the influence they had created on us. So you remember that in our lives, whether in jobs, even if you're doing your business, maybe you're connecting with clients, there is someone that you remember, oh my God, that person is so good. Oh my God, I still remember that client. He was so appreciative. Oh, I still remember that client who was so cranky. Oh, I still remember that customer who was that day and I was not feeling good, but that customer was so understanding. Oh, I remember the customer who came and shouted at me. So what are you referring to? You are referring to a legacy that a person is creating for himself or herself. So always ask yourself, what legacy are you building? How do you want people to remember you? How do you want people to remember you as what kind of a leader you are? And good leaders, as I said in beginning of the show, that the leadership imperative, a good leader is a person who can coach and develop, who can drive performance, who can inspire loyalty and trust, who can manage work, who can partner with within and outside the team, influence through personal power, and select talent. So keep all this in mind, and you will always, always win. And one very important point to remember is be respectful. Even if people are not coming up to your expectations, even if people are falling short of what they can do but they're unable to do, please be respectful. That will help you to get your results. And it is so important because you would not want your manager to come and scream at you or tell you that, you know, all the negative stuff and forget all that you have done in the past just because you messed up or you screwed up this time. Who would like that? So make sure that you are creating that connection with others with the highest level of respect. And you create empathy and be a good listener. It is really important for leaders to be good listeners. Again, I wish you all the very best in any of the leadership roles that you are in your personal and in your professional life. And I'm available on the website. You have all my contact details. You have Michelle. Just shoot out us a message if you need any help. You need to understand more about this positive feedback and development feedback process. You want to have one-on-ones with me, please feel free to call or connect with us. We are all there. Thank you so much. Michelle.
Well, that was a lot, and it was pretty diverse. So I think you hit most of the topics that need to be addressed, whether it is from a corporate world or small business or even personal. But the one thing that did catch my attention, you know, as I'm doing other things or I'm in my office, say I'm doing things and I'm having maybe the TV or a podcast in the background or music. And every once in a while, which actually kind of happens more often, you know, like, you know, when Oscar, something grabs his attention and his head turns to the side and his ears perk up because something caught him. Well, I have those little dog head tilting moments more often than lately, actually, because I think I'm paying attention more or I'm allowing myself to be more attention oriented. And you said something that I did get a little Oscar head tilt. You said, keep responsibility where it belongs. And I think that is very, very important for people like yourself and myself who tend to just say, you know what, I'll do it. Because by the time I explain it to you or let you do it, then and you do it wrong, or it takes you longer than it will take me. I can do what you do if it takes you an hour, it takes me 5 minutes. So I think it's important in order to keep our own sanity and our roles identified and making people obviously responsible is to keep responsibility where it belongs. And because people do need to be accountable in all aspects of lives, whether it's personal, relationships, friends, family, work, coworkers, employers, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that is one of the biggest takeaways of this show is to remember that. And it sets us up for what we were going to talk about next month about having balance and health and loving yourself enough to actually do that. So I think the more stuff we take on unnecessarily, it's not healthy in so many aspects. When it's stress or workload or just our own sanity, and then it affects health and everything else. So keep responsibility where it belongs is my number one takeaway from the show today. Anything else before we let the listeners go on with their day, Nin?
No, I think we covered pretty much everything, and I would definitely want them, because feedback is, I really want people to sink in this episode, listen to it again and again, the areas where they find more connected to, and they feel that, okay, this suits us, or this needs more improvement. I really want people to take serious notes while they're listening to this show, because it's all about feedback, and feedback is something that we do in our daily lives with everyone, with our kids, with our family, with our friends, with our partners, with our colleagues, with our clients, with our customers. It's all giving and taking feedback. So this episode is really, really important, and I have tried my best to cover everything that is essential in giving and taking feedback. I would request all of you to take serious notes on it and continue your leadership cycle or your leadership with great impact and influence.
All right. So two homework assignments for everybody. One, you just said it. Two, 15 minutes of exercise. That's it. Michelle, Nin,
yes.
Out. We are out. Yes. Drop the mic. Or drop. Can you hear the pen drop? Drop the pen.
Yes.
Another great show with my friend Nin of Nin's Navigation, our expert contributor. The other side of the table, most leaders don't want to say it, and most people don't want to hear it. One of our episodes in our January series, Fundamentals of Leadership. Tune in every Friday, where you can listen to Nin and myself deliver Nin's Navigation. Connect with us on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm out there trying to get all of you to join this wonderful community that we're creating. And again, show ideas, guest ideas, you name it, feedback, bring it on. And remember, you can listen and subscribe to Everything Home on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Blog Talk, Radio, and Player FM. Please visit our website, everythinghometalkshow.com. But thank you so much for listening, and make it a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Nin's Navigation with our expert contributor, Nin Rafat. Join us every Friday in January so Nin can help you navigate life's highway and give you the roadmap to understanding the fundamentals of leadership.